When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Pesco and Dusty.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Pesco and Dusty Likens.
And a glorious happy Monday to all of you as I can't see diddly poo outside. As
oh,
it
my.
It is sticky,
I
boys.
I just looked over there. Yeah. Woo! Humidity day, baby.
Check your glasses before you come inside. They'll definitely be fogged up.
It's crazy. I had this LASIK surgery done by my good friend Dr. Silverstein 20 years ago, like this month, right? Mm. And my wife always says, it's the nicest you've ever been. I was on Valium. No wonder I was nice that day, right? And I still have the old like effect of wearing the glasses when it's a day like this. You know, I always wait for it to fog up or something like that. 20 years, I'm still not out of that damn habit. But yeah, it is wildly.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wet out there today.
Yeah, it's, thick with three C's as we come to you live on a Monday on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Morey, Bob Pesco, Dusty Likens with you. Lot of like quick little storylines we get into this morning. You have a good weekend?
We had BMA over the weekend. It was outstanding. $730,000 plus raised. Yeah, nice
Hello,
event.
America.
Yeah, Jerry
Let's
did a
go.
Good job this
Hello,
year.
America.
Actually,
fall
he
on his ass.
No, he didn't, but I did run the video at the beginning. I go, we're all here tonight, and you know, it's all about safety. We don't need incidents like this happening. Roll the Anselmo video, fell on his ass. It was perfect. Everybody, you know, everybody cheered, everybody clapped.
The traditional yellow Crocs
he
got one.
Had them
there
on.
We go.
Yep, they were on again. But yeah, like,
oh, and his eyes were everywhere.
Yeah, oh.
I saw some of the dancers. I'm like, Jerry's tonight.
There was one that was very interesting. I'll just leave it at that. Those that were there, I could show you a picture of that. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. I will tell you that. And my entire table was looking right at me as I was emceeing this thing to see how I was going to react.
Okay.
So, yes, it was quite the show. I mean, we have some new foundations involved for the kids. Is our newest foundation, and they won it this year, right? They came in and won. Jen Timmons was the dancer, and her family, of course, owns Nick and Jake's, and so they did some really great stuff for us. And then in second place was Dakota Thompson, our senior from CU in the major leagues. He just graduated high school and danced, and he came in second place, won best performance, so carrying nice. You know, the weight for my wife from the following year, the best performance. Dakota at 19 years old was, I mean, just it tremendous. I was at his rehearsal that morning, and I started crying. I'm not going to lie, because I'm so proud of that kid, of everything that he was able to accomplish. I mean, think about yourself as a high school senior. Are you going out there and dancing in front of 850 people
No,
of course not. I mean, there's adults that don't want to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, he even said, he goes, got me out of my comfort zone. It was really cool to see him, you know, do so well. And so that was awesome. So our two new foundations that we've adopted this year, CU in the Major Leagues and For the Kids, top two finishers in Dancing with the Stars. So they did a great job, and all the celebrities were in, and Anselmo didn't fall, and he did book flights for the dancers under the wrong name, so there was a scramble there after the event to try to fix airline tickets. But other than that, I think it. hey, really quick story about the Sheraton Crown Center, because there is a gentleman there who worked his last night And the only reason he worked that night is because they begged him to work BMA one more time. His name is Fitzroy. He worked 42 years. Wow. Listens to us every morning.
Hell yeah.
Beat prostate cancer and said, because wow. I listened to you guys with the KCUC, I heard about that and I was able to beat prostate cancer. And I'm like, wow. That's a great story. Fitzroy's been there forever. And he's from Jamaica. And he's like, how is that to Dusty Lake, Jamaica? I was like, oh, he loved it down there, man. Mm-hmm. But I want to shout out Fitzroy because the guys behind the scenes that do so much stuff and just, I mean, he's been 42 years. My God. I mean, like, think about that. 42 years ago, Mac, where were you? Where were you? You guys weren't born. I was five. And this guy's been working down there since
Kling
that.
Was
I
doing mean, radio.
And Kling, yeah. Yeah, Kling was like, I don't know, doing whatever. But yeah, crazy, man. It was. It's awesome to see folks like that, yeah. And you know, doing their thing. But for 42 years, so he said to me, he goes, I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to listen to you guys because I don't have to get up anymore. I go, you can still listen all you want, Fitzroy. Mm. I mean. You know, you could tune us in, lay in bed, roll over, and go, ha ha, I don't have to get up anymore. Yes. Go down there and put up with Tammy.
That kind of stinks.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
I'd love to go down there
yeah.
and put up with Tammy.
So great weekend with that, man. It's just cool to see over $700,000 raised. It all stays here in Kansas City, too. That's the best part about it.
And you're kind of a sly son of a gun because I could have sworn I saw somebody that had the same exact head shape as you at the KU baseball game.
Yeah, it was me. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, I went up there last night.
Connections everywhere.
Yeah, my buddy Jim calls. He goes, let's go. I said, all right. So we decide we're going to go up to the game, and, you know, we're down there on the third baseline.
Do you have an umbrella?
No, they had a tent, and then they kept moving everybody inside into Allen Fieldhouse because the lightning that was going on
there.
Gold
was there, too, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. He had, you know, posh seats up there in the bleachers. We were just down in the tent where, everybody was down there. I saw so many people that I hadn't seen in so long, and so that was really cool.
Nice.
And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, they really, I don't know who decided how to do this rain delay thing, but they could have started that thing at 6 o'clock and probably got that game in before the lightning came, but I mean, there was lightning all over Lawrence. And as soon as you got to like where 23rd Street turns into K-10, no lightning, no rain, no nothing. It was like one streak that just went straight up through Lawrence all night long. And it never ended. And, you know, it was already 8-1 at that point with Oklahoma leading at that point in time. So it was, I don't know.
Restart that game today at noon.
Yeah. We're considering going back and seeing the rest of it. Yeah, I think
the second
so.
Inning.
Yeah, no, third inning,
third
I think.
Inning.
Yeah, third inning now. Yeah. But it's 8-1. That's the hard part for me is that it's 8-1. It's not like it's a 1-0
yeah,
game.
Yeah, but it's metal bats and it's unprofessional baseball. Anything could happen.
But also, too, you could
Georgia was down like 8-1 and they came back and won. And it was yesterday was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and the positivity of Kansas fans too. Even down 8-1, they're like, "Oh, we're still going to Omaha." There's no if. There's like, "Yeah, we're going to Omaha."
You better,
I mean,
better win today.
You have no choice. Yeah, you better have this thing wrapped up by 2 o'clock today, or there's no night game later this afternoon. So we'll see if we end up back up in Lawrence today.
You should go.
Yeah, I think we are.
Just wear white. As much clear. Coloring of clothing you can wear that.
Yeah, because it was, I mean, the humidity and all of that out there today, you can't even see. One other thing, too, there's a gentleman that played three sports at the University of Kansas named Steve Renko, okay? And he's 82 years old. He lettered in three sports at the University of Kansas, football, basketball, and baseball. That's pretty damn impressive, I think, right? He's in the Kansas Hall of Fame, the State of Kansas Athletics Hall of Fame. But he's not in the University of Kansas Hall of Fame because to get in the University of Kansas Hall of Fame, you have to be an All-American. This guy lettered in three sports at KU. I think that's worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. How many varsity letters do we have combined at the college level? Zero, right? Mm. This guy's got three in three different sports, and he's not in that Kansas Hall of Fame, the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame, because he never All-American. I would think being a letterman in three major varsity sports kind of trumps all of that, doesn't it?
He also played four sports there.
Yeah.
Played track and field, too.
Yeah.
Ran track and field, rather. Yeah.
Exactly. And he should be in the Kansas, I think, Hall of Fame. I know they have their requirements of being an All-American, but guys, based on what I was listening to last night when the Kansas athletic director was speaking, how many times do you think we're going to see All-Americans anymore at universities? Because nobody's staying. And what I mean, listening to the Kansas athletic director, I've told you guys, this college athletic thing, I don't know how it's going to be sustainable. It's just constantly, they just constantly need money for everything. And I don't know where the money's always going to come from and if that money's going to run out. But it's like little stuff that you don't even think about. Like, they need new lights at the baseball stadium, for God's sakes. I mean, it's just constantly going out there and getting money. And so you've got a guy who's been three different letters, three different sports, played four sports at the University of Kansas. We're holding out for All-Americans. I don't know that we're going to see many All-Americans in college sports anymore with the way that the transfer portal and NIL is working right now. The game has changed so much, man. It really has.
Well, I mean, I think if Peterson would have been healthy all year, you'd have seen an All-American first team.
Yeah, maybe.
And you might
yeah.
see one next year with the kid.
That's
they have
fair
coming
with basketball.
In. Like,
yeah.
You still have basketball Stokes. Americans. Yeah, Stokes will, you know, probably be an. I mean, DeBans is an All-American at BYU. There'll be another yeah. one that goes to BYU that gets all that NIL money that will be an All-American.
So 1 year as an All-American gets you in, except for 3 years or 4 years where you lettered in three sports that have been dedicated to the university your
well,
whole life.
Well, because All-American,
yeah.
you have done something that is like. You know,
I get it.
Whereas
yeah.
like lettering, like you just qualified for like, oh, congratulations, you played 18 quarters in varsity. Like, I'm not trying to debunk anything. Don't get me wrong with that. But like, that was at least what I understood lettering was in high school, at least, because I remember there were guys that never played basketball. They didn't get a lot of minutes. But if we were playing a team like and beating the snot out of them, it'd be like, hey, get that kid in there and let him play 8 minutes because the total minutes you have to play is 11 to get a letter. And then at the end of the year when they did the, you know, the award ceremony, it's like, come get your jacket.
Right.
It's like,
Yeah. No, I get all that. But yeah. I mean, but that's impressive to be at the top of your game in Division I athletics for of those years, man. I mean, that is really something that, you know, you can get excited about. So
sure.
I understand it. But again, you know, Shedeur Sanders had his number retired. Well, in Colorado, and I was for that, you know?
Yeah, that's his dad.
Yeah,
that.
of course.
But. And then also over the weekend, speaking of ass-kicking, the Mavericks won both of their games.
There you go.
They'll play game three Thursday against the Everblades, one of the greatest hockey teams
I love
ever
that,
get.
Yeah.
That game will be June 10th. That's Wednesday, the same day as the Cody and Gold garage sale. But the Mavericks won game one 6-0, and they won the second game 5-2.
Damn.
So you talk about outscoring your opponent 11-2. Similar to Oklahoma against Kansas, as it's now 16-2.
Yeah,
and they've only played 12 innings.
Yeah,
or not even that, 11 innings.
11 and a half.
So the Mavericks took care of their business this weekend. KU got a chance to kind of come back. The Royals took care of business this weekend, and we had some unfortunate news. Jack Caglione gets hurt.
Yep.
Bobby Witt Jr. gets hurt.
Yeah,
our pets' heads are falling off. But yeah, they go. 2-3 against Cincinnati, 3-4 against Minnesota. They've got an off day today, and then they'll have a little home stand here. So we'll see what happens with them as they're still kind of clawing and digging out of that last place hole. Still down bad in the division, still down bad in the AL, but some positive things happening. And oh, by the way, game three tonight is finally in the Garden. It is finally in the Big Apple. We will decide to see who or what will happen in tonight's game against San Antonio Spurs, New York Knicks. This game three happens tonight at 7:30. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Jack Caglione, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Weekday morning starting at 6 right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it on a Tuesday here.
It's actually Monday.
That's right, Monday. Sorry, we were just watching the weather.
Yeah.
Tuesday is going to rain in the morning at like 4 a.m., and then it's going to feel like 102 the rest of the day.
Yeah. Got to be beautiful.
Anybody else mowing with me today?
I don't know how you're going to get through that wet grass, though. That's the only thing, right?
Spit on it. Don't forget, this year we partnered with KCUC. As Bob mentioned earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, and KCUC is donating $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation by every home run the Royals are hitting this season. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives at KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced neurology team. You see the best in KC. Schedule today at KCUC.com. $2,900 so far this season with 58 home runs. With the boys in blue, we'll get as much information we can on Bobby Witt Jr.'s injury. I know that Andy Rogers and Joel Goldberg both had said that he had right knee soreness. Don't like that.
No, you don't like that at all.
Hate that, actually. And then Caglione ran into the wall and had some sore shoulder issues, so we'll see what they keep doing. They have an off day today, pretty big off day. They're pretty beat up. And then back at it Tuesday at home for the rest of the week. I believe the Rangers and then the Houston Astros
And Triple Crown candidate Yordan Alvarez is rolling into town.
I wonder if he's now the MVP favorite information that was out on Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, and the fact that he could potentially win the Triple Crown too, Dusty. I mean, that is Miguel Cabrera the last guy that we saw win the Triple Crown, right? That's wild. I didn't realize Yordan Alvarez was doing that when it came to the Triple Crown type stuff. And obviously, nobody's really paying attention to much Astros baseball these days. So
right. But most importantly, tonight is game three. I'm not sure what to expect from San Antonio. I know they had a chance to win it with Wembanyama at the game-winning shot on Friday. Did not fall, and the Knicks went up 2-0. Mm-hmm. Game three tonight in Madison Square Garden.
He fell, though.
He fell.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He had a pretty crucial, young, athletic turnover.
I didn't hear the conversation be about how he fell on the last shot. I was perplexed. I was wondering where all the SGA haters were when Wimby fell down.
Oh, you mean the flopping?
He literally fell down all on the ground on that last jump shot. No one touched him. That would have been the whole conversation all weekend long.
Well, see, I think what part of the problem is, though, to be honest with you, Mac, it took place on what, Friday night?
Yeah,
okay. So Stephen A. Smith hasn't had a chance yet to yell and scream and all the talking head shows and all that kind of stuff haven't been out there over the weekend. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, once, you know, we kind of get into the flow of it today, I'm sure people will be talking about that, but the weekend happened, and you know how it is. We were talking, what'd you do this weekend? My head was so busy. I had so much going on, right? It happens. And so we'll get back to the screaming head shows that start place today, and, you know, they'll probably be on, or they're going to move on and focus on what's going to happen tonight, game three, you know, at the Garden. I didn't realize the Knicks were only the third team in NBA history to start the NBA Finals 2-0 on the road. The 93 Bulls and 95 Rockets did it. They're the only other two teams. I think that's a crazy stat, a crazy piece of history anyway, that only two teams in NBA Finals history has won both games on the road to start this thing. And, you know, the Knicks did the Knicks things, right? They did exactly what you thought the Knicks were going to do, fall behind early and find a way to come back late and win the game and rely, obviously, on what you do. But also, they took advantage of Wemby being 22 years old in that game. The moment was too big for him on Friday night.
And it's kind of interesting because the moment has not been too big for Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, my God.
He lived up to the expectations of game one that he had such a great game in. And in game two, another double-double, like 28 and 13 or something around those numbers. And we all kind of respect what Charles Barkley has to say, right? Yep. We kind of believe what he says. He doesn't really leave anything sugarcoated. He kind of says it straight from the hip.
Charles Barkley, I know you're raring to talk. What's on your mind?
Wemby's in shock right now. It's probably been a long time since he got his ass kicked like this. I remember when I got in high school, there was a guy named Lewis Jackson.
Oh, yeah, that Lewis Jackson?
And I remember the first time that I was like, you know, when you're a great player, very rarely you just get your ass kicked. Lewis Jackson did it to me in high school. Leonard Mitchell did it to me in college at LSU. Wemby's spinning. You see he's throwing the ball all over the place. It's a shock to his system. He's too young to understand. Like, I got over it. But right now, he's turning the ball over. He is so flustered right now. And listen, we can say what we want to. He's 22. He's going to own the league soon. But right now,
he's being owned.
Our big cat is just taking his ass to the woodshed, plain and simple.
The first half highlights presented by...
Yeah, I mean, it really is just, it's true. I mean, the moment was too big for Wemby on Friday night. We saw him crumble, but that's probably a good thing for him in the long-term scheme of things because you've got the opportunity now to learn from failure. Will he? I mean, this is where you find out who athletes really are when they're faced with that failure for the first time. How do they recover from that failure? Because as much as you're talking about flopping with Wemby, that pass was a bad pass. It was a shot. He's falling all over the place. The moment got too big for him. Will people accept that the moment got too big for him? And I'm really interested to see how he responds back tonight. I mean, he's lucky we got another game, right? He's lucky they got another game. It's like a baseball player. Put that in the rearview mirror and go forward. I'm very interested to see what Wemby's going to do tonight and how he's going to respond off of that. Because if they end up losing this finals in four games, then the conversation starts with Wemby right away, doesn't it? Oh, the best player to ever win a championship. Like, he gets put into that category at 22 years old. And so much pressure on that guy tonight.
So let's have a conversation real quick about Wembanyama. Is he playing a different style of game, or are the Knicks forcing him to play this style of game? Because the stat that jumps out to me, Mac, is that he is 4 of 15 from the arc.
That's crazy.
Why is he shooting that much from three? I know that he has that game, but it's not working. And 4 of 15 from three is not good for Wembanyama to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And I know that in the series before that, I was praising him for hitting the step backs, and he was doing that against Oklahoma City, against Chet and those guys. But it's not working. And I don't know if the Knicks are forcing him out, and they're just like, you know what, if you want to do this, go ahead. If we lose a game because Wembanyama goes 4 of 6 from the arc, then
fine. Dang it,
then we lost because he hit threes.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're just letting him do this, and he's still continuing to take that bait. And I don't know if he's getting out of his game that makes him so special, or if he's just doing this on his own. Again, 22 eventually will become the guy. This is why when we started this series talk, I was like, I don't think he's the face of the league yet. I think he's one of the faces. I think he's on track to become that. And again, 22 finals, playing a team of destiny. We know how that sometimes can work.
Yes.
And maybe this is a reality check of like, whew, man, yes, I've got what it takes, but I got to finish it. I got to figure out what I can do to get the job done. And right now, Karl-Anthony Towns, who is, you know, I don't know if he's known as one of the best big men in the league, but by God, he's playing like it.
Oh, yeah, he is. No, I would say I would say what we talked about last week with him finding his offensive game. I mean, this is what the Thunder did. The Thunder did the same exact thing the Knicks are doing. He shot 2 threes game one, then it was 7, 5, 7, 5, 9, 5 threes each Thunder game. He was shooting a lot of threes. He was making them.
Yeah.
That was the difference. That was literally the only difference.
Well, when you're hot, you keep shooting, and when you're not, you got to stop.
And,
you know?
And he wasn't hot at the beginning of that series. Credit to Wimby, he found himself and said, okay, you guys are going to force me outside. I'll be able to shoot. But he doesn't have the size, and Kat has the size to be able to say, you're not going to come down and back me out, and I'm going to let you shoot. So, no, I think that's what Wembanyama now has to find the counter to that, whether that's...
First time he's kind of been bullied, too.
Yeah,
year,
a little bit like that. Yeah, I mean, in the playoffs, in this situation, 100%. Yeah. Obviously, Joel Embiid's put 50 on his ass. For like, this has happened.
Right.
This isn't the first time he's lost or been like, damn, I'm kind of getting manned down here. But like this,
like
over
this.
And over again on this... sort of showcase. So, yeah, I think this is huge. He was 11 for 21. He played better. He played a lot better last game. But, yeah, he's going to have to find a way inside and also find a way to share the basketball more. It's too much Wembanyama at the end of the games right now. But that's part of the team's problem, too. Who else is going to step up and be that guy? De'Aaron Fox tried to a little bit, but they're going to have to find that out soon.
But also, if you're Wemby, too, you also have to understand that everybody is looking at you. This is all about you, right? Everything that's going to be determined out of this series and everybody's talking points for the next couple of months are going to revolve around what this series did. There's a good chance that the Knicks end up sweeping this thing, right, and end up winning this thing. But it doesn't mean they're ultimately going to be the best team moving forward. This is when the Bulls had to beat the Pistons, and they couldn't beat the Pistons, and then they finally did, and then boom, they took off and did their thing. You have to crawl before you can walk. You have to walk before you can run. And I think right now the Spurs are realizing they're 21, 22, 23 years old playing against men right now in an atmosphere that they've never been in before, that really nobody's ever been in before, and what they're going to face tonight. I mean, tonight is going to be... I don't even know how to explain the atmosphere that we're going to see inside that building, right? Like, how do you handle that if you are that visiting team? If you're the San Antonio Spurs, 22, 23-year-old guys, you've never been through this before, that atmosphere is going to be big, man. It's like when teams first come to Arrowhead Stadium or Cameron Indoor or Allen Fieldhouse, and you have those first couple of minutes where you're like, oh my God, the building really is the sixth man in all of this. And so I'm anxious to see how San Antonio is going to respond to this, because if they get down early in this one, that building is just going to come alive. It's going to be alive, and it's going to get
insane.
Even more alive. If the Knicks open 5-10-point lead early in this thing, people are going to lose their collective minds.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Hart showed up as well. I mean...
Everybody's doing it for the Knicks. That's the thing. You mentioned who's going to pick it up for Wemby. Like, literally. And that pass by Karl-Anthony Towns is not getting enough run either.
Talking
where he's under the basket,
paint,
whips it around the dude, and kicks it out
incredible.
For three. I mean,
Jokic-like.
That pass was sick. Absolutely sick.
Yeah, it's just one of those. It's one of those. I don't know. I don't really, like, think of the destiny things or, like, stuff like that. But sometimes there's just an aura around people that it's just.
Yeah.
Causes other teams around them to falter. And
it
that's
does.
What we saw Wembanyama do it. We saw him throw that ball up ahead, not looking. Jalen Brunson's watching Wimby the entire time and then goes and gets it, gets the foul. And you can see the frustration, like, hand to hand, like, why did I do that? It's like, because the moment's big. Yeah, the lights are bright.
Right.
But, like, you need that sometimes in your career. I mean, Mahomes had a horrible first half against Tom Brady and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. And then came out in the second half, and it was like, I got it. I figured it out. But at that time, you know, Tom Brady was still playing football at an elite level, too. And it was like, it's not your time yet, kid. Just wait. And this is kind of like the Knicks are like, hey, this is our run. This is what we've done. They still haven't lost since the NFL draft. And now they go back to New York, where it's going to be an absolute electric show. I'll be tuned in from minute to minute, starting at 6 o'clock when they do the pre-show, just to kind of see what the garden looks like, what everything's going to be and everything that goes with it. And this is the finals. This is where it gets made. And maybe this is just, you know, not Wimby's time yet. Maybe this is Brunson and the Knicks' time to kind of put 53 years to bed and hold up a trophy and then see what happens after that.
And then wait another 53 years to do it again. But I think also, too, by watching Wemby, though, and to Dusty's point, really should make us appreciate what Patrick Mahomes has done, because he literally had a half where he was shell-shocked and then took over the league. I mean, really, it shows you how hard it is to dominate this early. And I'm watching Wemby, and we're hearing a lot of the same stuff you hear about Mahomes. You mentioned the GOAT category and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are really the only two that I can think of off the top of my head that just hit the ground running and never let up, you know?
Tiger.
Yeah, I'm talking team sports, though. Okay. But Tiger, yeah, absolutely falls into that category. But when you're looking at the team sports, you like, you know, the Bulls struggled, obviously, to start their dynasty. You know, the Spurs are going through it right now. You see these teams and these players struggle. And then you look at Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, and you're like, yeah, Mahomes had a bad half in the postseason, and that was it. And he took over and has owned it. Tom Brady, from the minute he walked into the postseason in 2000, 2001, they took off and they ran. Find me other athletes that just dominated in the postseason from the minute they walked in the door and had that immediate success. It takes time, you know, it does. And Mahomes and Brady have ruined it for everybody, guys.
I think that leads us right into a good segue of our Monday overreactions, as Matt can get right into it with his overreaction.
And I would still put Wimby on the category below that. He's in the finals in his first time ever.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, in the finals, first time ever in the postseason. Yeah. Pretty incredible. Mm. But
you got to win it. Otherwise, then we start talking Josh Allen narratives, you know?
As I said, the referendum's going to happen, especially if it's a sweep. Get ready for me to be closing my ears and la, 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 all NBA offseason to all of that BS. Wimbanyama.
Low-hanging fruit, though, Mac. You know it's happening.
Oh, of course. I said it before the series started. Yeah. Of course it's going to happen. Yeah.
They either win and they're hated, or they lose and he's hated.
Exactly. Yep. And either way, he was going to be.
Does he become a villain, though, if they win?
No matter what, he's a villain.
Really?
I've said that for a month or two now. He will be the most hated player in the NBA a year from now. It's already happening. Yep.
Based on
goodness? Before it was his dirtiness, so the elbow, him saying, come in there, hard fouls. He's European. And right now, the cockiness. So some people would think that the aura, the arrogance that he has, I think it's awesome.
The best athletes are arrogant, every one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I think the mental is what's great for him, but this is his quote that some people are being rubbed the wrong way by. This is everything that I wish for. There's no reason to really overthink it. I mean, this is what I'm built for. He says when he asked, being down 0-2 in the NBA Finals, I'll say Spurs are winning tonight. It's my overreaction. They're going to lose the series. They're down 0-2. They lost their first two home games. Their best player is 22 years old. They're not coming back. Okay, this is 90% over. I'll never say 100%. But I think they win tonight. I don't think it's a sweep. I'll give it Knicks in five, maybe six, but probably five. I think the Spurs do win tonight and come back with the haymaker of their own.
Yeah, you're hoping for a fifth game. I just think that the Knicks end it. I do. I just think they just say, screw this. We're winning this thing in four, and we're taking off from here. My overreaction is a little Karen-ish. I'm not going to lie. Why did we have Sunday night and no NBA or no Stanley Cup Finals?
Thank you.
Who did that scheduling? I mean, I was at the KU game, obviously, last night for the first three innings, and then it was over. But like, we were all kind of talking, like, there's no NHL Finals tonight. Mm-hmm. There's no NBA Finals tonight. How did you miss a Sunday night opportunity where there really was nothing else going on the sports calendar? You had some baseball here or there. But I would have thought last night would have been a great night because it is a Sunday night. And now here we are on Monday. Summer, people are in their summer activities. I just thought a big miss by both of those leagues not having a game scheduled. I understand hockey played Saturday night. Oh, my God. Double overtime game.
Unreal.
I mean, the way that thing ended was absolutely insane.
It's been
so
sick.
Yeah. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, these three games so far have been nuts. But that's my overreaction. You went a Sunday where you do have a captive audience, and you didn't play either one of those finals. That didn't make any sense to me.
Total miss.
Yep. My overreaction has nothing to do with sports. My overreaction is it's time to kill all downtown day events. I woke up Sunday morning very, very disappointed to be a resident of Lee Summit. It's over. It's done. Can't have this. I don't know. It's just sad to hear, sad to see. Saturday night, went and hung out with some people at the downtown day events. It was fine. We had a good time during the afternoon. Went and got some, you know, vendor food. Got to see some of the cool people out there that were doing these things. All for it to be ruined by teenage violence. And at the end of the night, there's a Dairy Queen, for those of you that are familiar with downtown Lee Summit. My buddy has a house that's down there. We went over there to get some late night sweets because we didn't want to go back downtown because we knew it was getting kind of, you know, messy. We had one of my buddies who's an EMT who called us because he knew we were down there. There were reports of gunshots. There was bear spray being sprayed that apparently was brought in by these teenagers, not the police, because they don't use that type that they found. A gun was found as they were trying to chase down a teenager who was running away from the scene. We cannot have this. We cannot keep doing this. Because sooner enough, they're going to have vendors that are like, you know what, we're just not doing it.
Not
and
doing
it's not going to look the same. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how much time the Lee Summit community and the board of people down there need to put together this thing of like maybe setting up a curfew, putting up, you know, police officers after 7 o'clock. You'd asked me earlier because you guys both know I came in pretty hot about
this. Yeah, you were. And I don't blame you, Dusty. I don't blame you. You want to take your family out for a nice evening and celebrate the town in which you live and you can't do it because of violence.
Can't do it. It's not fair to the city. It's not fair to the people that want to have these sort of events for these, you know, people, these mom and pops trying to have these sort of things happen. Why would they do it? They're vendors. I know for a fact from people that I talked to on Sunday, there was a bunch of people that just didn't even show up Sunday. They packed up
vendors,
Saturday night,
you mean?
Gone.
Wow.
They shut down food
now,
stuff
Now, that's
early.
Big when vendors are leaving early because now you know what they're going to say? I'm not coming back.
No, I'm not going to spend money to rent a spot to get, you know, my life threatened. Yeah. I'm not going to do this. I don't want things to be ruined. I mean, there's videos of teenagers kicking cops on the ground. There's pictures of people starting, you know, fake things out there saying that, you know, gone or something like that. It just has to end, and I think that you take a year off. And if that's an overreaction and you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I don't like waking up Sunday morning seeing my city that I live in, very close to that area, be completely put on blast because a bunch of people ruin it for a bunch of other people that are just trying to have fun and enjoy the kickoff to summer.
Right.
You got to end downtown days.
Yeah, my daughter was at Old Shawnee Days over the weekend. I think they went out there on Friday. Nothing like this. She didn't say anything. They were just, you know, kids hanging out and doing their thing, and she hooked up one of her friends with one of her friends, and she was very happy about that.
Cupid
brought a couple of people back to the house to, you know, hey, you guys need to meet. You know, I'm like, hey, I love it. You know, what do you got to do?
Somebody that texted says, so your answer is to cancel the events. How about you come up with a real solution? That's what I've been trying to say for 3 years, and they're not doing it. They're just not doing it. Last year, the same thing happened.
You know why security costs a lot of money?
It does.
Yep.
And the other thing too is that you do have to have a plan, and whether that is on all the access of the streets. You have metal detectors there, and you have people checking IDs like you would when you're going to a Royals game and you walk in, or a Chiefs game when you walk in, and you have
or
to
like the Garden
something.
Tonight, no bag policy at Madison Square Garden tonight. They're asking people to get there early. Here's what we're going to do: we're going to continue downtown days, but it is going to be a secure area, like when you go to the airport, right? And you get past security, that is a secure area. And maybe that's what we need to start doing, because if you start having violence at these events, vendors aren't going to show up, families aren't going to show up, and then it's over. So you've got to find a way to preserve these, because they're great for the community. They're a lot of fun. People like going to these events, but if you don't feel safe at them, then it's going to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, it sucks. It just makes you not want to go to that, whether it's a parade, whether it's a downtown festival, whether it's a large gathering for a game, whatever it may be, it's been ruined. I don't know. I mean, you can blame the parents, you can blame the kids, you can blame the city, you can blame security, you can blame whatever you want. It's just, you know, it's just not fun. And it just really makes a bad damper. Because I don't know how many people are actually that are causing this are actually from the cities that it's happening in. I don't know the number of that. I don't know the statistics, but I know that the statistics will drop because people just won't go. And when it was on the Lee Summit community page, there's a bunch of people out there that were like, yep, this is why I haven't gone for the last couple of years. It's the same story, different day, different year, and I'm just done with it.
I think the biggest thing, though, that you mentioned, Dusty, that really needs to be said again is that vendors left early. And when you have your folks there that are putting on the event, and that's the reason you're going to see the vendors, and, you know, these people are making their arts and crafts, their pictures, their things, their food, and all that kind of stuff. They're counting on this as income. This is the way they make their livelihood. And if they're leaving early after they paid to be there, too, Yeah, that's where you have to start wondering, man, what is going to be done? Because you don't want your vendors having to leave early, because if they leave early, then there's no event.
Yeah, it says from the text line, took my kids there 9, 11, and 12. We left after 20 minutes because we didn't feel safe with my kids.
Wow.
Damn.
Sad. It's very sad. Coming up on the other side, the most pressure on one NFL player plus Chiefs Madden ratings are out. Mahomes is a 96. I haven't looked yet. I'm just wanting to be surprised. You're on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, analytically the best morning radio show in Kansas City, as voted by people.
There's a lot of people talking out of their butt.
Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Finish the 6 o'clock hour with a good note from the 816. Hey, Bob, my wife and I just got the DNA results back for our second child. I'm officially joining the Girl Dad Club. Happy Monday, fellas. Happy Monday to you.
Yeah, way to go. You're going to love it, man. I was just telling these guys during the break, I said, as days go by, I'm so glad I had girls and not boys. The KU game last night, there's a kid there. He must have been, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, but it's pouring rain, and they've got the AstroTurf down basically under this tent to keep the mud away, right? This kid is just slipping, sliding down the AstroTurf like it's a slip and slide. And I looked at him, I go, you're having the best time of your life, aren't you? He goes, oh, yeah. Like, it's summer break. It's raining. You're at an NCAA baseball game. Hell, yeah, you're going to turn that into a slip and slide. Sounds when you're incredible. 11 or 12 years old, right? Now, meanwhile, if you got a daughter that's 11 or 12 years old, they're looking at that boy and they're going, that guy's an idiot.
And you're like, yes.
Because girls are mature. You will find that out very fast. Well, just look at everyday life. I mean, we're here telling fart jokes for a living, you know, and girls are doing stuff that's meaningful, you know? And so they are so much more mature than the boys. You'll look at that at your daughters and be just like, oh my God, you guys are mature. The boys are just idiots. They really are. They are idiots at that age. I love it.
I think my mom would have rage quit had my little sister been another boy.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. For four, she would have been like,
yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife wanted boys. Obviously, when you're a guy, you want boys. You want a boy, and you get two girls, and you're like, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. It's mellowed me out a little bit. I didn't have to get involved with, I don't know how I would have been as a sports dad with a son or something like that. So I'm glad I had girls. You know, you get what you're supposed to get, my wife always says.
That's a good way to think about it.
Speaking of the boys for the Chiefs got some ratings on Madden. Not that anybody still plays the game, but people still care about ratings. At least I do. The highest rated Chiefs player on Madden this year is Creed Humphrey. He's a 95.
Wow.
Probably the highest rated center on the game, I would assume.
I would assume so.
Yeah, who else would be up there? I mean, Kelsey's not playing anymore. Name another center, right?
Doesn't feel high enough, to be honest.
You think he should be like 98?
Yeah, I feel like he's, you know, he's...
Chris
Jones, best lineman in the league.
Chris Jones still carrying a pretty high rating. He's a 94.
94, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has slumped all the way down to a 92.
That's just unacceptable.
That's crazy.
Well, that's fine. He'll be a 98 by week five.
You're going to take it that long, huh?
Trey Smith, 91. Ken Walker, III, a 90. Travis Kelce, a 90. And Drew Tranquil, an 89.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Just based on those rankings alone, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing two of the top linemen in the NFL and a top running back. Run the damn ball.
Offensive line should be much more pleased with the way that the running game should be organized. I hope DeMarcado and Ken Walker and then, maybe be able to, threaten teams with the running game, and then that opens everything up for Patrick Mahomes. It really does start with the running game for the team this year on offense, at least in my opinion.
It has to. It absolutely has to. I mean, just right there. Two of your linemen have over 90 grades in Madden, and your running back is a 90. And those are good things, right? These aren't bad things. Obviously, I know you have Patrick Mahomes up there, but your top offensive weapon is Ken Walker and Travis Kelce, both tied with a 90 rating. So let's utilize those guys. Yes. As much as you use Travis Kelce in the passing game, use Kenneth Walker in the running game, or a combination of Emmett Johnson and Kenneth Walker and DeMarcado, or however you want to use it. And I do. I think they're going to run the ball a lot this year. I think they're going to make an effort into letting everybody know that they're going to run the ball this year. And it's going to be glorious for the offense, because when you get those big guys up front moving, man, all of a sudden that momentum just takes over, and you can just see the souls being crushed of a defense when you're able to run the ball effectively. So you've got the horses. Let's go.
What's Jalen Hurts' Madden rating in by that?
I don't know. I was looking at Ken Walker. He's ninth overall out of running backs. He's 1 point below Josh Jacobs, 2 points below Saquon Barkley. Let me go to...
That should be a big year for Barkley, because he's coming off a bad year.
Coming off of a... Yes.
So he should have a good year.
Jalen Hurts in 83 overall.
Ooh. Yeah. Big year for Mr. Hurts.
I think so. I don't think there's going to be anybody under the microscope more in the NFL this year than Jalen Hurts.
Can I say a name?
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one, too, because of the new coach. I was going with Hurts because you got rid of A.J. Brown. I mean, you got rid of...
Got rid of John Harbaugh.
And you got rid of John Harbaugh as well. I think from a player perspective, though, man, we're going to see a lot about Jalen Hurts this year, and we're going to really know if Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, or was he being held back potentially by A.J. Brown and his situation and how he didn't like it. So I just think it is a major year for Jalen Hurts, and we're going to know at the end of the year whether or not he is a good quarterback. Because different than Lamar, I think the consensus on Lamar is that he's really good, right? Like, everybody consensus is, like, I'm sure there's some strays out there that don't think Lamar is good and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. I get that. But for Jalen Hurts, I feel like more people think he sucks than they do believe that he's good. And he has a real opportunity to go out there and play good football and show who he is. We'll learn a lot about Jalen Hurts this year. I just think it's a massive year for him, guys.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for him, he has a Super Bowl and an MVP of the Super Bowl. So, yeah. I mean, Lamar Jackson has yet to get to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And they kind of told us in Baltimore that we're going to divorce with John. We're going to continue to move forward with Lamar. And Lamar, this is kind of like what we've seen that you kind of wanted. You want full control of the team. Like, this is your team. I know he's kind of in a contract year-ish. Yeah. Maybe not kind of, actually is. As he has said, we're not going to talk about this at all this year, because the last time that this happened, it was, I'm not going to have an agent. My mom's going to represent me. Say what you will. He got his money. He got his contract. But now it's like, this is now maybe the second phase of his career. Now he's on his own. John Harbaugh's not there. Derrick Henry getting older. Is Zay Flowers the guy in their offense? They moved on from their backup tight end and Isaiah Likely. He's now with the Browns. And so now I think he's with the Browns.
No, he's with the Giants, I think.
Giants?
Yeah. Isaiah Likely?
Oh, he went with John.
Yeah, he went with John.
That's
Harbaugh.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, to me, like, Lamar's underneath that pressure. I think there's another form of pressure underneath. Josh Allen, you know, McDermott's not there. And you have also Joe Burrow. Like, hey, we kept our coach. Everybody in our division got rid of their coach. And now we believe in you and this offense that can actually get going, because we paid it to be that way. So can the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, get in the Joe Burrow, you know, era of his career where he can be a top five MVP candidate and be a guy that can lead that offense to playoff football? So I think there's a lot of guys under that microscope. Unfortunately, it is all quarterbacks, because that is the league that we play.
Yeah, and I also
Mahomes got some pressure as well.
Oh, absolutely does. Yeah, there's no question. But I think for all of those guys that you named, most of those guys have more team pressure. I think this is Jalen Hurts from an individual standpoint, individual pressure. Because if you ask 50 people if they like Jalen Hurts, you know, 25 will say yes and 25 will probably say no. Maybe it's more, you know, to the no side than it is to the positive side. And so from a team aspect, they don't have anything to accomplish. From an individual standpoint, he's got a lot to accomplish to kind of really form his own narrative right now. Because, oh, you can't do it without Saquon. Oh, you can't do it without A.J. Brown. Oh, how many offensive coordinators has this cat now had, right? Because they got rid of the offensive coordinator again in Philadelphia, right? So this is going to be his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, right? And so it's tough. It's hard for Jalen Hurts. But you got to step up, man. And so I think the microscope is going to be very big on Jalen Hurts this year. And we'll know at the end of the season whether or not he's that franchise quarterback in Philadelphia, or if they're going to be looking for a franchise quarterback.
It's his fifth different in 6 years.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's insane. That's not setting your guy up for success. And yet they still had all of that success, too.
Rashee Rice coming in at 85 overall. He's right around there with DJ Moore, DK Metcalf.
Is that his Madden rating based on who else is in the pen, or is that his NFL rating?
Yeah.
What is Mendoza's, just out of curiosity, if we can find that one? I would assume he's probably like a 72.
I was going to say 75. I mean, we have nothing really to judge him on, right?
Mendoza.
He was cranking that Vegas horn the other night like he had done it 100 times.
What was the adding rating initially of Patrick Mahomes in his rookie year? Does anybody remember that?
I don't know.
Because it wasn't, probably it was irrelevant at that time because, again, he wasn't playing. So, I don't know.
Yeah, because he's probably like a 78. No one really knew anything about him.
No, you didn't know anything about Patrick Mahomes. Just like we don't know anything about Fernando Mendoza. He could go out there and be the greatest bust of all time. Fernando Mendoza could go out there and be one hell of a football player. Like, we legitimately do not know how he's going to be in the NFL.
In 2018, he was ranked a 76 overall.
Wow.
In 2020, he was a 99.
There you go.
There's your Mahomes.
That's fantastic. 76 or whatever to start at 99. Yeah, he's good.
Took 2 years.
That's what Dart is. Jackson Dart, 76.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't got rookie quarterbacks. All I can find is Mendoza, 99 overall, his draft player.
No.
Yeah, his draft program player. I'm like, okay, so that's not it.
I didn't know Cignetti was doing it.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, don't forget this Wednesday, Cody and Gold Garage Sale is on. It's June 10th. That is this Wednesday. 100% of the proceeds go to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Auction items are available for viewing and bidding by going to 96.5thefan.com and clicking on the pass-through link. Coming up on the other side, it is Trade Talk, and there are a few names that are getting a lot of plug for the Kansas City Royals here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Carter Jensen, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty, weekday mornings starting at 6, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.